Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on today's This Week in America is Ken Pasch, global business advisor, author. He says that most bosses today are frustrated because they just don't know how to lead. The result, well, some very bad relationships and outcomes. Ken is known for his ability in understanding the complex differences between leadership and management. His new book, On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar, Ken's success the result of failure. He transitioned from flying in the U.S. Air Force to managing medical facilities. He knew his leadership style wasn't working, and he struggled to figure out what it takes to get an organization off the ground. And then an epiphany, the same thing it takes to get an airplane to fly. That led to his revolutionary leader development process. Ken has over 30 years' experience in revolutionizing leader development within a broad range of organizations, including the U.S. military, Johnson & Johnson, the American College of Healthcare Executives, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the founder of KI Visions, helping good people become great leaders, for over 15 years teaching at the Smeal College of Business at Penn State University, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Air Force, Ken Pasch, author of On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar, with us on This Week in America. Ken, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, Rick, I really appreciate this opportunity. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is our pleasure. So much great information in the book. And let's go back, because this wasn't something you studied in a book like How to Be a Leader, and you went out the next day and you followed these principles. You basically wrote your own book. But let's go back to 1972. You talk about that as a horrible year, but yet that year there was an incident that was the beginning of this leader development process that you've developed. Talk about what led to all the success in business.
Well, like you said, in 1982, I made this transition because I was flying and having a wonderful time doing that, going all over the world, doing great things, but it really wasn't good for family. And so my wife and I made the decision that we were going to go do something else. And so I used my education and went into running medical centers. And I was getting actually decent results, but I had a wake-up call one night. Someday I'll have to, I hope we can meet and I can show that to you, Rick. But it's pretty funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time. But it was a very serious issue that I had to take a look back at and figure out, hey, wait a minute, what's happening? Maybe I'm getting those good results by having a negative impact on some decent folks. So I tried these books, workshops, courses, and they were great. They told me what a good leader should be. The problem was when I tried to implement it, none of them told me, how do I make that happen? So all these great ideas were out there, and that's where the real frustration comes in, is because we see all these great ideas, but so many of us don't know how to make it work in the day-to-day job. And so I did have this epiphany, and I developed this model, and it's amazing. It's uncanny, the connection between the dynamics of flight and leading, and that's what the model is based on, and that's how people can figure out not just what, but how to apply some of these great ideas and become great leaders in the process.
People will look at you and probably go, this guy was flying. He was a very successful pilot for the U.S. Air Force. He had great responsibility. But you talk about in the book, you realize quickly that you had responsibility for yourself. It really didn't teach you anything about leading other people.
That's right. And, you know, there's incredible responsibility having that airplane.
Yes, right? Exactly.
But, Yeah. And so it didn't translate into the work world when I became a boss.
With us on This Week in America, Ken Pasch, the author of On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. You talk about this came to you. It's like, I could get the airplane in the air. I can get this business going as well. You came up with this gyroscope system. And talk about that, and then we'll get into the actual process. But this is all based on what it took to get an airplane into the air.
That's right. And for those that know, in modern aviation, with the advancements of GPS and satellite technology and stuff, it's not as critical as it used to be, but it still translates into people because people are the same. You know, the technology changes, but people haven't changed for how many thousands of years probably, and their motivations and what they're looking at. That's why I love using the gyroscope system. And the gyroscope actually is the basis, the meat of the process, because nobody threw me the keys of the airplane when I just showed up on the flight line and said, hey, yeah, go have fun.
You know, enjoy
you
yourself.
Have a way to
yes.
help people. So you had to have a way to help people get where they wanted to go. And so you had to teach them to learn. So that's what the gyroscope system does, is it takes people through from a very basic level to very senior levels and how to make it happen at each of those different levels.
It's all broken down in the book, On Course, Become a Great Leader, and Soar. Ken Pasch, the author, our guest, that's P-A-S-C-H. His website is kivisions.com. The book's available wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly to Ken's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting when you talk about leadership. I'm seeing a survey that, like, most leaders feel they're taking the company in the right direction. They're leading in the right direction. Yet, when you talk to employees, you get a whole different viewpoint. 52% say business leaders are not ethical. 70% feel their opinions actually don't count. And nearly 80% say they're not managed in a motivating way. Are poor business leaders really unaware they're poor business leaders?
I think so. I think because I was lucky. I didn't think so at the time. But when I got that wake-up call, it really helped me understand, oh, maybe I better take another look. And so that's what I had to do. And, you know, the statistics you cite, I mean, they just keep coming up. I mean, the surveys, I think, that we're dealing with were just done in 2017. So these aren't things that were done, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and they just stayed the same. No, these are things that were done 20, 30 years ago and have stayed the same. And so we've got to figure out how to do this, and that's what we try to do, is try to help people break out of the standard mold and figure out how to lead.
In the book, On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar, you talk a lot about the myths out there. We have these common misconceptions that have been developing over the years. I'd like to talk about some of those. Myth number one you talk about is leaders must be born with necessary attributes. We've always heard he was born to lead, she's a natural leader. And you say that's not necessarily always the case.
Well, you know, the leaders that I've worked with, and I've worked with quite a few over the years, there are some that are born with some qualities that I'm guessing just help them be better. But that doesn't mean that I have to be born with those qualities. In fact, there's one quality that I think is a misleading characteristic in somebody. I think people believe that charisma is that natural ability to connect with people, that if I don't have that, that I can't be a good leader. Well, that's just not true, because there's a number of leaders throughout history that have not been what we would call charismatic people, and they've done a great job. And so there's other techniques and characteristics that fit into this process. And so that's what we try to get people to recognize, that maybe you weren't born with some of these natural abilities that some other leaders have, but I guarantee you have some skill sets that we can use to help you become a great leader.
And you help people find out those, refine them in the book, On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. So often people think, I've got to be a leader because I'm in a leadership position. Somebody thought I was a leader and they gave me this job. And you say, not quite so fast there.
Most people don't know how to measure whether a person is a great leader or not. And that becomes the problem. So people are typically put into leadership positions because of something else that they've done very well. Maybe they've been an incredible physician. Maybe they've been an incredible engineer. Maybe they've been an incredible accounting process person. You name it, but it's usually something else that made people believe this person is ready for a position of authority. And they did not measure whether or not you could lead. I think some people would just assume that once you're in that position, oh, you are a leader. Well, technically, that's true, Rick. But it doesn't mean you're a true leader. You could be, like we classify, you could be a wannabe leader. You could be a false leader. Yeah, none of us want those on our resume. And so to be a true leader, there's certain things that you have to do.
And we've all seen that.
You're in that position.
Well, yeah, we've all seen that, where someone has been elevated based on a certain skill set. But as you say,
right. They
really aren't good managers, leaders. So once they get into that position, it's like, you know, they were doing a lot better when they were just the salesman rather than the sales manager leading the sales team. And I guess the other side of that, another myth, is I can't be a leader because I'm not in a leadership position.
Right. If we had a chance to talk with every one of your listeners today, I pretty much guarantee we could find that they are a leader in some aspect of their life. If they're a parent, they're a leader. If they're a teacher in a classroom, they're a leader. If they're a person who doesn't have people working with or for them in an organization, but they take ownership of that process in the organization, they're a leader. So everybody has this capability of being a leader and probably is a leader in some way, shape, or form. So don't make the assumption that because you're not in a position of authority, that you're not a leader. Anything but that.
So often after you've been in a position for a while, you're thinking, okay, this is probably as successful as I'm going to get. I'm far too busy now to find another way. And you point out that's not only a myth, but you point out how much time we're actually wasting during the course of the day that we could be using it to better ourselves.
That's exactly right. And I think I hear that. I use that as the myth because I hear that so frequently. And I think it comes back to that thing we talked about earlier, Rick, and that's the frustration people feel. They don't know how to do things any better. And so because they don't know how to lead, they believe they've got to do everything themselves. And anybody that's in a true leadership role and really understands the unbelievable potential that's in the people in the organization, if they could just figure out how to be a leader and start delegating some of this stuff to these people that have phenomenal skills that they're already in the organization, their life could change and change wonderfully.
Ken Pasch, our guest on This Week in America, global business advisor, author. His website is kivisions.com. Ken's last name is P-A-S-C-H. The book is on course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. You can link on directly to Ken's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In your leader development program, you've got basically three components, and that's interesting because no matter where we are on this leadership journey, you're there to help us answer questions and move through it successfully.
Well, that's right, because, you know, there's an awful lot of people who believe that leadership is one size fits all. Well, that just can't be. I mean, if you take the CEO, let's take the CEO of Johnson & Johnson. I guarantee that CEO has significantly greater depth, scope, scale, you name it, relative to the young person that that CEO might have just hired out of college to be in an emerging leadership position. So we have to deal with these people at their expected level of leader readiness is what we talk about, so that we can make sure that they don't get frustrated by trying to be something they're not yet, or bored to tears on the other end of it because they need so much more than that emerging leader. And so we do try to help people where they are, to help them get where they want to go.
And you talk about every leader at some point loses focus from time to time. You have to recognize that and correct course. Talk about why that happens, and it's frustrating because I guess you think you just sort of lost it at that point, but it's basically just a period you go through, and it's a natural period.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I love about the connection to the dynamics of flight, Rick. When people are flying, people get scared by this sometimes when I say this, but if you knew how often you were actually off course, it might frighten you a little bit. But we have instruments when we're flying to really help us measure where we are. But a lot is due to external conditions. You know that thing that we call wind in the air?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't blow the same direction all the time. It doesn't blow the same speed all the time. And the same thing happens to us with the external conditions we come to in life. And so we have to have ways to measure whether or not we really are on course. One of the things I offer to people is to just try to figure that out. If you think you're on course as a leader, ask your staff this question. If you were asked to resign tomorrow, how would your staff respond?
Interesting. And that's really, that's enlightening. Ken Pasch, our guest on the program. So what you're saying is basically some days the jet stream's a little stronger than others and we just need to adapt and go forward.
That's exactly right. It's going to happen to us all the time. There are certain external conditions we just can't control, and we just have to figure out how do we deal with those and live with those and get to where we want to go, regardless of what's happening with the jet stream or whatever the winds are. That's right.
You talk about instead of touting I win, you challenged yourself to adopt a we win mindset. And you talk a lot about the crew members. And for you to be successful, the crew has to be successful as well. Talk about how that shifting from I to we was instrumental in your success.
Well, it's one of the things that I picked up as I was trying to figure out this whole process, Rick, and that is whether we're a manager or a supervisor or an administrator or a leader, there are various skill sets that we need to develop and adopt. But one of the big differentiators for the leader role is there are also mindsets. Because when you talk about the name of the company, you know, KI, it's a Japanese word, it's ki, and it's a very complex topic. But the reality is we have to have leaders, have to have the proper mindsets to make sure that we're mindful of the impact our decisions and actions and inactions have on people, maybe many people. And so one of the prime mindsets that we talk about is what I call the abundance mentality. And the inverse is the scarcity mentality. And the difference between the two is I win versus we win. And so we have to understand as leaders, if I go into my office place like I do when I'm going to get gas, when I'm getting gas to fill up my car, I'm trying to get the best price and have it at the best convenience, right?
Yes.
Well, if I take that same mindset to the workplace, my people are probably going to respond not as I need them to.
Yes.
But if I have a we-win mentality, that works.
Couple minutes left in the program. Time going by way too quickly. Just when you sort of figure out who you are as a leader, you overcome all of these myths and you feel comfortable with yourself. You talk about workplace systems that actually can sabotage that success. So we not only have to worry about ourselves, but we have to worry about workplace systems that may be working against us. What are some of those workplace systems that could sabotage our success?
Rick, we could take another 20 hours to talk about it.
Yeah, as soon as I asked that, I thought that really wasn't fair. That really was not the time to ask that. But just give us maybe one, tease us a little bit, and we'll talk about it later.
You know what? Maybe we'll do something that you had a recent guest on the show, Robbie Riggs.
Oh,
and
yes.
He talked about something that is actually it's a system that's bred into the system. And in terms of, you've used this term I've heard on your show, Rick, the we've always done it that way kind of thing. That in and of itself, that expectation, that mindset is a system that gets ingrained into an organization that causes significant problems where we have this belief that the people of maybe, I won't put you in that same elderly category as myself, but us baby boomers,
yeah,
we have this belief that, you know, do as I say. And there's no way that this young person can teach me anything. Well, I think Robbie was really right on target when he was talking about having reverse mentorship processes built into the systems where we have processes in place where all the people in the organization contribute to what's happening. And we don't just have lackeys who just do our bidding, but we have people that really have talent that we've built the systems, whether that's the incentive systems that we have, because a lot of the incentive systems aren't built to ensure people are contributing as much as possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of these cliches that are business cliches that have been around a long time, actually what you're saying is they stifle our creativity, our innovation.
That's right, because it's so much easier than change. You know how much people like change.
Yes, yes. Fascinating.
That's what we've got to do.
Really, and we'll have Ken back because there's so much more to talk about. The book is On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. Ken Pasch is the author. That's P-A-S-C-H as you're looking it up on Amazon, Global Business Advisor, author. His website is kivisions.com. The book's available at Amazon, of course, anywhere books are sold, and you can link on directly to Ken's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Ken, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to some of my shows before. I appreciate that very much. It's been fun having you on. So much more we can talk about. We'll look forward to having you back in the program.
Well, thanks so much, Rick. And if I could just put one plug in, I have a grandniece that wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for people like you. St. Jude's helped her, and that's 15 years ago, and she's living a pretty good life now. So I thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and all I did was help raise some money from time to time, and I keep thinking of Danny Thomas, who's been passed on for a number of years, and the legacy he leaves behind, which are kids that had what was a life-threatening disease and able today to be alive and successful because of his vision back in the 1950s. So I'm so delighted to hear that. That's so meaningful that Danny and the people with ALSAC and St. Jude have been able to make a big difference in people's lives. I appreciate hearing that. I'm glad she's doing well. And again, Kent, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Look forward to having you back. And again, the website is kivisions.com. The book is On Course, Become a Great Leader and Soar. Ken Pash, our guest. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.